The following audio is from Faith Bible Church in Spokane, Washington. Visit fbchurch.org/sermons for more.
I've been married 28 years, if you can imagine that, and it's gone by like that. When people ask me what I do, I hope they don't notice the gray hair poking out of my DIY hair color or the granny glasses on my nose when I answer, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And then the inevitable question, how old are your children? Well, my charming son, Evan, is 23 years old. He just finished college, and he is living in Silicon Valley. He is doing something computer-related for NASA, of all places, and I think it must be highly classified because he doesn't bother trying to explain it to me. But he knows that I'm technologically challenged. So my beautiful daughter, Rachel, is 22, and she is living in Oklahoma, about to graduate from college. Those asking haven't said it out loud, but I can only guess what they are thinking. Aren't your kids a little too old to need you at home? And actually, my kids haven't been at home for probably 5 years. I don't yet qualify for the senior coffee rate at McDonald's, but when I do, I might change my story. I might just say, I'm retired. Although I don't believe a mother ever fully retires. So long ago, just before my son was born, my husband and I decided that I would stay home with our children. I found that although there were times that I wished I had a place to go, and a person with whom I could leave my toddlers, there never seemed to be anything more qualified to receive my time and attention than my kids, my husband, my home, and ministry here at Faith Bible Church. Our family has the pleasure of planning our first wedding this summer when I will gain another son, Brandon. I somehow feel the urgency to tell Rachel everything right now, like it's my last chance. Our phone calls are long and full of motherly wisdom these days. So, for some reason, I've been chosen to bestow upon you wisdom today on how to motivate your kids to do household chores. I wasn't asked to do this because I'm an expert speaker or motivator, and I'm definitely not an expert on keeping a perfect house. But the reason I'm here today is because Jesus is in the business of making people better. And trust me, I have come a long way. When I was in middle school, I had what I thought was a dreadful job, dusting, every day when I got home from school. I probably actually didn't do it every day, but it felt like it. And I put this chore off as long as I possibly could. It probably only took me 10 minutes to do it, but it seemed like a nightmare to me. I selfishly wondered why my mom couldn't do the dusting if it was so important to her. And what was the big deal about dust, anyway? What I liked least about that job was that I had to dust around people's stuff. And in my large blended family, there are 11 kids combined in my family. Even a little bit of everyone's stuff added up to a lot. And thinking back, I'm amazed that my mom didn't pull her hair out. I have great respect for her now, but what I didn't know at that time was that she would lose her hair about 6 years later due to the chemotherapy she would receive for breast cancer. And even though she was facing the biggest challenge of her life, I still struggled with doing the dusting. And I'm ashamed to admit that the selfish heart I had toward the work, I'm ashamed to admit the selfish heart I had toward the work that I was expected to do. So, fast forward to college. And when I was in college, my roommate and I had a lot to learn about cleaning up after ourselves. Turned out, my mom did a lot more than I gave her credit for. One thing I find interesting about college is that we go from high school, which is 6+ hours a day of activity, to moving away from our parents' watchful eye, and we're only expected to go to school for about 4 hours on some days, and maybe the other 2 days, a couple hours worth of lab. And somehow we are expected to know what to do with all of that extra time. There were no bathrooms to clean, no household responsibilities except taking care of our dorm room. Somehow, even this was challenging. We had, in those days, big hair and shoulder pads, blow dryers, curling irons, hairspray, multiple changes of clothes scattered throughout 125 square feet. We had fuzzy boundaries, low standards, and only small bursts of self-control. Well, miraculously, I graduated from college, and I moved on to new, unsuspecting roommates. The only one I'm still in close contact with is my sister, and I lived with her for about 6 months, and she doesn't have a choice. And, of course, my husband. And speaking of my husband, Brian, we are both middle children in our families, so we are more like type A minus if we know company is coming, and maybe B minus if we don't. We both like things to be tidy, but it never seems to get to 100%. In our first little house in Spokane, I was probably about some of your age, I had a picture window above my sink, which allowed me to see my backyard while I was doing dishes. I did a lot of thinking while I was doing dishes. I used to fantasize about my perennial beds and strategize about how to keep the squirrels out of my bird feeder. And one day it occurred to me that I am responsible. I think you guys call it adulting. I wasn't just responsible for the stuff I wanted to do, like planting flower beds, but also for the stuff I didn't want to do. And it was now my job to take care of most of the household chores. And we had a newborn baby, and I was home full-time for the first time. I could no longer put off the responsibility for someone else to take care of. My husband's work schedule allowed for very little time at home. I knew right then and there that I could not ask him to spend his precious little time off to do dishes or laundry. This was a very important moment for me, and I won't ever forget it. Well, until I'm in a nursing home with dementia. But so fast forward about a year when I had the luxury of hiring a cleaning lady for one day. I was 9 months pregnant with my daughter, and my son was 15 months old. I literally could not get to that place behind the toilet that you need to clean, and I just couldn't reach it. So I decided to pay the big bucks and have someone else do it. I wouldn't have guessed it by looking at her, but the cleaning lady must have been 9 months pregnant too, because it was the only place that I noticed she didn't get to either. Nevertheless, the timing was perfect because the next day my water broke, and it would be only a few days before I would be able to get to that myself. Not long after that, I was going to a Bible study called Titus Tuesdays. We were studying the Proverbs 31 woman. A lot of you have heard of that. My table leader was Helen Campbell, and she is my gold standard of Proverbs 31 woman. I was convicted by the word during that time about what my role as wife and mother should be. The Holy Spirit was nudging me toward the high calling of biblical womanhood. I don't mean to say that as if I've arrived, because believe me, I haven't. But my desire to obey God through serving my family was planted around that time. And the Holy Spirit was aligning my heart toward this pursuit. What exactly does it mean to have the Holy Spirit align my heart? It started out with a commitment long ago to trust Jesus for my salvation and to serve him and follow him for the rest of my life. I have grown to desire what God desires. I've learned over the years what it means to follow him through the many changes as my role as a woman, from being a daughter and a sister, to being a roommate, a friend, a wife, to being a mom, and now an empty nester. The Spirit of God living in me and the truth found in His Word were sufficient to motivate me to obey and keep trusting. God's Word speaks to our role as women, wives, and mothers. And there was no getting around it. I had a big responsibility to serve my family in the home. So I made it my goal to take control of my environment, raise the bar, crack the whip, reduce the clutter. Marie Kondo was probably in the first grade when I was organizing my sock drawers, and I could have easily written that book, but I didn't. I remember Helen asking the question at our Bible study long ago, does God want you to be a perfectionist? She probably doesn't remember asking that question. but it impacted me greatly on many levels. I had never considered what God thought of my new self-imposed perfectionist standard. I had established standards based on what I thought others would expect of me, not what God would expect of me. I was choosing people over God, and the people I was hoping to impress were not my family. And if this was not problem enough, when I didn't measure up to perfection, my mind would begin down a path of insecurity, comparison, and discouragement. Have you been there? I am guessing you can all identify with me somewhere along my meandering. But I needed help. I needed to be saved from myself. I needed to know what the Word of God said about my identity, my role, and my responsibility. I realized that along my path from apathy to sheer laziness to perfectionism, I wanted what I wanted. It was rarely about Him, and I needed to confess that my attitude toward the life He had graciously given me was sinful. So, I knew that God's Word spoke to my role, and I knew that there were some verses that spoke directly to that, but one verse that stood out to me was Ephesians 2:10, and this was one that was highlighted during that Bible study. And it was life-changing for me. Although we had decided together that I would make our family and home a priority, I didn't always feel comfortable in this role, which was no surprise in our culture, probably even harder now. But when I learned that the work I do for my family is every bit as important as any job I could do outside the home, I gained new appreciation for what I did every day. The verse goes like this: "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God knew before I was born that I would be Brian's wife, Evan and Rachel's mom, and He knew all the work that I would be doing in that role before I was even born. Somehow that made my responsibilities seem a little bit more significant. When I am doing dishes after making dinner and I'm tempted to think negatively about the fact that I am doing dishes after I made dinner, I need to ask myself, does my attitude show respect for the work that God has called me to? I'm sure I don't have to tell you the answer to that. Another one of my favorite verses that I use to filter my thoughts when I'm working at home is Matthew 22:37-39, and many of you will be familiar with this. Jesus is telling the religious leaders which is the most important commandment, and He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. You know that one of the most authentic ways to show love for the Lord is to show love for others. And this is not always warm, fuzzy, affectionate love. This is doing for others what you would like them to do for you. So the tasks of making dinner, doing the dishes, and cleaning the bathrooms are of great importance in God's eyes. And when I looked at the work I was doing in the home through Scripture, it became an act of worship rather than dread. So here we are today. I'm an empty nester, and I have time to pursue more ministry opportunities and to plan a wedding and clean my house. And in everything that God calls me to do, I try to think of it as a blessing. And trust me, I'm far from perfect in that. But probably what you're waiting for is my list of 8 ways to convince your children that chores are fun. Actually, the way to approach chores in the home begins with your approach to chores in the home. Your children will value what you value. And if you value what God values, you will be better at motivating them. It is vital to remember that the people in your home are much more important than a perfect house. Don't go all boot camp on your family when you get home today. But most of your family members do prefer a clean house, even if it's something they have to help with. And if you are tempted to say, you know, housework is just not my thing, I would ask, whose thing is it? God has generously given you a place to live and a family to take care of. Every home requires cleaning and maintenance. If you neglect this truth, you are not taking care of the gift that God has given you. Titus 2 tells us that it is my job as the older woman to tell you, the younger women, to love your children and to be workers at home, among other things, which we don't have time to get to today. But I'm not saying every household chore belongs to you. You will have to work with your family, your husband, to figure out how to divvy the chores up. But you are called to be a worker in the home, and you're going to be the best at creating a nurturing and a loving environment for your family. So I do actually have a list for you, because everyone likes a good list. And I think it's in your monthly, if you want to pull it out. So my list is 8 ways to make household chores more positive in your home. And a lot of you already do this. Actually, Marissa was just telling me, where's Marissa? Her 2-year-old loves to do chores. Don't be surprised if he changes. So, number one, speak positively about household chores and have a positive countenance while you're doing them. If you complain about doing chores, your kids will complain about doing chores. And trust me, it will become one of your least favorite things about them. Number two, adjust your expectations for a season while teaching good work habits. A lot of us have very high standards, and the idea of having a 3-year-old help us with chores doesn't sit very well. It's not child abuse to ask your little one to redo a job if he doesn't do it well. Use it as a teaching opportunity. But if they see you redo the job that you asked him to do, then they're not going to be confident and they're not going to be motivated to do it. So you might need to adjust your expectations. Number three, be sensitive to tasks which overwhelm. Communicate with them. Break it down, make it easier. I remember asking my son to sweep the dining room, and he practically fell in a heap on the floor, begging me to give him another chore, and I couldn't really understand this. What is wrong with you? Turns out what he didn't like about that chore was having to move the chairs out and sweep and move them back in. That just seemed overwhelming to him. So once I figured that out, it was helpful for me to know that about him, although I still made him do it. I did help him with it, and the next time I tried to find another chore for him. He knows how to sweep now. He's big enough. He can handle that big, long broom. Number four, expect age-appropriate results. Don't give a 4-year-old a fitted sheet to fold. Don't even give your husband a fitted sheet to fold. Number five, model and practice. Be willing to demonstrate several times if you need to, and watch them practice. They might do it a different way. consider letting him do it his way if it works for him. And we know what it feels like to be on the receiving end of someone else's way is the right way, and we have to do it their way. So you might consider that there isn't only one way. Number six, offer encouragement and help, but don't foster laziness by taking over. This might be one of your hardest challenges when you're watching your child struggle and you just want to do it yourself because you know it's 10 times easier. But they figure out that if they don't do it well, you're going to do it for them. So they will become lazy. And number seven, this is a good one, inspect what you expect. If you want them to value a job well done, then you need to make sure it was a job done well. Number eight, thank them for the work that they do for you. We all like to be thanked for the work that we do, and we all probably think we're not thanked often enough. But just like you, they need to be thanked and find something positive about what they've done that you can reinforce. I know that when you guys are discussing at your tables, your mentor moms are going to have some great ideas too. So ask them. Now, I'm a practical person, so I can't leave here without giving you some tips. Here's my little bag of tricks. And if you are dusting, ta-da! You like feather dusters? They're not very good dusters, I will say that. They collect dust and then they redistribute it all over the house when you use it. But it's fun and it offers instant gratification. You can probably see all the dust flying around there. I like these, and I don't know where Lisa Peabody is today because I'm going to give her a little sales, whatever you call it. Norwex, I love these. I just, you know, get them wet. You can use them on just about any surface. I'm going to just say it. They're expensive, but they're really nice and they work for just about anything. So this is a good one. But if you're dusting and you have a little one, strap him on so that he can or she can face out. And just keep him up at your level and, you know, dust, let him see what you're doing. And talk to him while you're doing that. Talk about what it is you're dusting, where it came from. Maybe it's a knickknack on your mantle and why is it so important that it's there. Talk about the person who maybe gave that to you or the pictures of the people that you're dusting around. Talk about that. The more you talk, the more they're going to pick up on language. It's really a great time to use your words to encourage. And then it's amazing. We will never know what a 9-month-old can learn just from watching and listening to you. But so you might say, I'm dusting this little cactus. And then you talk about cactus, whatever you know about cactus. I don't know anything about cactus. But anyway, you know, you just talk. This came from, you know, my sister bought this for me and, you know, whatever. I can't think of anything right now, but obviously. But strap them in. If you have a toddler, you might have to focus more on things that are a little bit lower. That is if you can't carry them and dust at the same time, which is probably not easy for everyone. Laundry. I have a couple things here. Okay. So laundry is never completely done in my house. Probably not done in your house either. It might be done in Vicky's house. I don't know. 100% never. I consider this the great sanctifier. Laundry reveals the ugly in my heart faster than almost any other chore. This is a great opportunity to meditate on verses and take your thoughts captive and maybe think about praying for the person whose clothes you're handling. Be aware of what your thoughts are when you're doing that. A good friend of mine, when I was your age, I was, you know, kind of watching everyone. How does everyone do this? And I had a good friend who saved all her laundry for one day. Mondays was laundry day for her. She didn't go anywhere. She had 5 kids, so she had a lot of laundry. And it took her pretty much all day to do it. And so I would go to her house on Mondays and just hang out with her. And it was a really great time for us to just be together. And she would be folding laundry. And I don't know why. I didn't really ever help her with that. Now that I think about it. I don't know if you know this, but really the amount of time, I think Julie knows this. How long does it take to fold an average load of laundry? You don't remember? About 5 minutes. And I had her demonstrate that one time here, actually, at Mom Life. I timed her. It took her about 5 minutes. We had a kind of a mixture of things in there. It might not have been a huge load. You know, those new washers, you can put a lot of stuff in there. So that might take a little longer. But from beginning, sorting, to putting away, it probably doesn't take more than about 10 to 15 minutes at most per load. So if you think about it that way, maybe it won't be quite so overwhelming to you. If I dump load after load into a mountain of clean clothes to fold when I feel like it, because I know I'm going to feel like it later, then it takes me a lifetime to do that. But if this is your approach, here is a tip for you. So if you do that, this is what your clothes are going to look like. So, you know what? What are you going to be tempted to do? Rewash it, put it back in the dryer, pull it back out, and put it on another pile. So, somebody taught me this a long time ago, and I think it's brilliant. I used to iron everything that I wore, but fabric has changed, and I don't really iron much anymore. But if something does need, well, I iron my husband's shirt. But if something is wrinkled like that, just spray, get some water. This is just water. Spray it on your little shirt. This is extremely wrinkled, much more than my clothes usually are, so maybe this won't really work, but it should. But it's amazing how those wrinkles just sort of disappear. They're not all the way gone, but you can spray it and hang it in your closet, and honestly, by the time you want to wear that thing, there'll be hardly any wrinkles in there. So that's one option. I do like to hang my clothes, probably more than I like to put them in drawers, but KonMari, she says that you should fold everything. So you can do the same thing. If you're going to fold your shirt, you can spray it. This isn't how she does it, but I'm a pretty quick folder. You can stick that in your drawer, and it'll dry by the time you need to wear it. So anyway, this is a good tip. I would say pick up a lot of spray bottles at the dollar store, because actually some of them, they don't last very long, and then you just have to throw them away and start over. But anyway, that's a good, if you kind of like a good smell, you can put just a little bit of fabric softener in with the water, like a tablespoon or so, and then they'll even smell good when you do that. Anyway, that's my thing about laundry. This is a good task to have your kids help you with, though, because your kids, they can sort laundry, they can sort dirty laundry, they can sort clean laundry, they can help match socks, you can show them how to fold a shirt, and they can do it. It's not going to be perfect, remember, but it's a good one to have them help you with. Let's see. Just decide before you start with having your toddler help you not to go ballistic if the stack of nicely folded things gets knocked over, because you're going to have to start over. And that will definitely happen. So in the kitchen, here is something I love. I just saw this. Somebody posted something about this on Facebook. I use hydrogen peroxide for a lot of things. It is it takes the impurities out of things, apparently. So it's like a disinfectant. But anyway, I got this little spray thing at the dollar store, and it fits right onto the peroxide bottle. So you can use this to spray your kitchen counters, wipe them off. It's non-toxic. Keep it in the brown bottle, because for some reason, some magic happens when, if you were to put that into this bottle, it would lose its power, I guess. So anyway, this is a good thing that I like to use in my kitchen, and believe it or not, I actually also like to use it in my hair. So So any highlights you see, good or bad, came from this bottle right here. Let's see. But when you're in the kitchen, if you can, put your toddler up on the counter or bring a chair up next to the counter and let them see what you're doing. They want to see what you're doing. And I know that it's not fun to have them next to you when you're cooking. But you're going to have to relax your standards a little bit. Show them a picture of what you're making if you are using a recipe. Talk to them. Again, like the dusting, just talk to them. Talk to them about what you're doing. Talk to them about how God provides food for us. Talk about the ingredients you're using and where they come from. Talk about the fruit trees in the garden and the one that God told Adam not to eat. Show them how to rinse the dishes as you go to make the dishes easier when it's time to do them. And speaking of dishes, here's my very strong recommendation to you. You heard it here. It only takes 5 to 6 minutes to unload your dishwasher. So I'm begging you to just resolve from this day forward, as soon as you possibly have 5 to 6 minutes, unload your dishwasher if it's full of clean dishes. It took me a long time to figure this out, but if your dishwasher is not ready to receive dishes when dishes get dirty, then the job just multiplies. When my daughter moved into her first apartment with her college roommates as a junior, no one else was very excited about emptying that dishwasher. And so she knew it would mostly come down to her. And where she lived, Oklahoma, they like roaches there. Or roaches like Oklahoma, and they like dirty dishes. That grossed her out. She'd never seen a roach before, and then all of a sudden her apartment's filled with them. So I reminded her that it only takes 5 to 6 minutes to unload that dishwasher, and what really would be the worst thing that could happen if she did it every day. There's serving other people is never a waste of time, and it's really generally not that hard. So she, the voice in her head, she can't get it out that it only takes 5 to 6 minutes to unload that dishwasher. Think about storing Tupperware down low where your kids can maybe just play with it while you're finishing unloading. Have them maybe try to match colors, lid colors to containers, but make sure they know Tupperware math is not exact, and they're not going to find a lid for every container. If you're sweeping, get a little mini broom and dustpan. What is not to like about that? Who wouldn't like to sweep if you had a little happy face broom? You can do all the big sweeping and the moving of chairs if you want, and just have your little one help you get it into the dustpan. Isn't that cute? Pretty clean. I just got it. I really have hardly used it, so I thought I could bring it today, not gross you out. Tidying up. I went through a little. These are going to change, like as your kids change their ages, their capabilities. This is going to morph throughout the rest of your life. But for a little while, my kids were old enough, I could give them each a job, and they did it every day. And my son, I think it was in high school or maybe junior high, I gave him the job, no more sweeping for him, but tidying up the main living room area. And so I taught him how to make a stack of things tidy and neat, where to put the pillows, how to, you know, throw the throw and pick stuff up and just make it look tidy. That was life-changing also because he learned to do it, and he did it well. And although for us, if we ever lose something, we'd have to ask him where it was, because he would, you know, like stash it in a drawer on a shelf or something. But both my kids took the turn to do that, and they kind of learned a little bit more about how it's not fun when it's your job to tidy up and someone else's things are there. So they kind of learned how to take care of their own things that way. My son still does that for me when he comes home at Christmas time, and his girlfriend thanks me for it. So there are so many household chores I could talk about. I have Pinterest pages devoted to this, and you guys probably do too. In the end, involvement and attitude are key components. The reality is housework and chores are work. And I think it's honest to say we aren't always enthusiastic about doing it. God doesn't expect all work and no rest or play, but he has carefully crafted your family and the work he has called you to do. We should respond by taking care of what he's given us and teaching your children to do the same. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you for each of these moms here today. I thank you for all the little ones that you have given for them to care for and to be a good example to. Help us to be good stewards in teaching our children to care for what you have given us. And please guide our conversation and help us to be eager to put into practice what your word calls us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio from Faith Bible Church. Feel free to share. We only ask that you do not alter the content in any way and that you do not charge for it. Visit us online at fbchurch.org for more sermons, articles, and other resources, as well as information about our ministries.